get going with the reading. First of all, I want to thank very much the MFA in Creative Writing and Poetics, A.W. Bothell, who are sponsoring this room, this event. So many thanks to the MFA in Creative Writing. Three columns, as Douglas Kearney aptly observed in the poetic lineation session. And I'm going to be announcing the first group. The second group will be announced by Amaranth Borsuk, and the third group will be announced by Ted Hebert. Amaranth is the associate director of the MFA, and Ted is the director, and I am the founding retiring director. I'm thanking all of you who are going in alphabetical order. There's a couple of changes to the program. One person's flight is leaving early tonight. Another person is ill, etc. So I've substituted a couple of names that will be out of order. So the first group of readers, and I'm hoping you all have programs, the second reader will be Pragita Sharma, and the eighth reader, rather than Shinny Chen, will be Ken Taylor. Both Ray and Shinny will be appearing later in the program, but both of them had commitments. So as the notice went out, everyone should try and stay close to their 2 minutes. I'm going to use my handy phone, and at 3 minutes you will hear chimes, and the chimes mean that your time is over. So please try and keep close to the 2 minutes. If for some reason you're heading into three, you will hear chimes, and we will thank you for your reading. Okay, so we're starting off with a great reader. We're starting off with Kazim Ali, and I'll just read the names, and the person should come up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
This microphone belongs to the MC.
The announcer. Hello, everyone. I'm going to read you 2 poems. This poem is called Golden Boy. It's kind of an Ars Poetica. Golden Boy. Almost afraid I am in the annals of history to speak, and by speaking be seen by man or God. Such then debt in light be paid. Atop the Manitoban Parliament building in Winnipeg, what beacon to dollars, food, or God shines? I hallow starvation, this nation, beneath the body, hollowing its stomach to emptiness, and in breath the river empties. Who so spoke the craft borne along long echoes and echelons of light and space? We, with one another, wait the soul, not the spirit, breathe through, spirited, went or wend, why, true, weave, woe, we've woven a dozen attempts, these tents pitched on the depth, be made by pen, may perch atop the temple pool, proven the proven, these riches, wheat and cherries and prunes, what washes, overwoven ocean, and frayed I am, most sir, desired, sired in wind, seared and warned, once in wild umiak sworn. We parley to mend, be conned, be bent, come now called to document your meant intent, your indented mind and hollow star, your weight in eons there in prayer. of senses, pensive atop that plural spire, be spoken or mended, broken and meant for splendor, my mentor. And the second poem I'll read is called The Oasis of Now. It's by the great Iranian poet Sohrab Sepehri. And its closing line was a line that the democracy protesters there wore it across their chest to shame the Iranian police into not attacking them. So it was their banner of protection. If you are looking for me, I am beyond nowhere. Beyond nowhere, there is a place where all messages disperse in the veins of the sky, bringing news of the blossoming of all the remote gardens in the far corners of the world. The ground bears light hoof prints of dainty horses climbing the poppy thick hills. Beyond nowhere, there is a place desire opens like an umbrella and breeze like thirst sinks deep into the leaves. Bells of rain carol fresh watery tunes about how lonely humans are, where the shadows of tree trunks stream into endlessness. If you are coming for me, come softly and quietly, lest you crack the glass heart that cups my loneliness.
Pagita Sharma.
Manuscript called One Mint One after Barnett Newman. A one one. In it I found that the political discourse would love its ethical moon, a wonderment, a one sum, bewitching affinities built upon antinomies, abstract, an expression, a wool cap of ornament for the sake of weather. Loving him helpless anew helped, loving her helplessly anew helped, leaving it all behind helplessly helped. Building around the moribund became a kind of blessing. I left constituents around the number one, and I won, and I felt simple or glad, or finally incandescent and comfortably large in my honesty, a kind of hanging of the rituals, the clothes, the sense of living in them upright. I felt trouble pinging from my thumb muscles, but I ignored the throb. I looked out into a dense and driven fog and said goodbye to its flavor. I said goodbye to more than 10 years of saying, "Will you please love me?" I wanted to birth a kind of abstract expressionism of the merely objective and the racialized lover of things. One mint or ornament, or I won an ornament, or I loved an ornament, and the one mint of myself resolved. I resolved, and thus I became into myself a one that thought would never be allowed. And I moved outside of the fog into a place that signified art.
Diana Arterion.
I'm going to read one poem, really quick preamble. This is about an ancient Roman historical figure. She's largely known for the men to whom she's related. So she was Emperor Caligula's sister, Emperor Nero's mother, Emperor Claudius's niece and wife. And is basically known for fucking and murdering and manipulating so that she could have power through these prosthetics of men. And I started to write poems about her. And then Alice Notley told me I should write a book about her, so I figured I should do that. And I finally finished it last year, so I'm gonna read a poem. And this is, it's called Agrippina the Younger, age 5. She sees the trail of gore and follows, finds a small roe deer, arrow almost, through the neck. Crouching, she pushes it out, breaks the tip, slips the shaft from the deer as it kicks weakly. She lifts its head to her lap, strokes between the eyes, cradles the ear with her little hand. The ticks moving to the hairless arms, blood pumping out the hole, then less. The breaths more and more shallow. She hums as her mother does the baby. The deer's tongue slips quietly from between its teeth. The girl still pets as the woods and head grow cold. She eyes the large warm belly, wants to press, massage whatever out, build a fire beneath so the flesh will open and show. She sees the fire, the fur all blackly twisted, skin splitting, the pink fawn's eye on her. Thank you.
Okay, our next reader is Cameron Awkward Rich.
And believes that that is a regular thing to do. The cure for what ails you is a good run, at least according to my mother, which has seemed all my life like cruelty. When I had a fever, for example, or a heart shipwrecked and taking on the flood. But now, of course, this is what I tell my friend whose eye has been twitching since last Tuesday. What I tell my student who can't seem to focus her arguments, who believes still that it's possible to save the world in 10 to 12 pages double-spaced. And without irony, I'm asking, have you tried going for a run? You know, to clear your head, this mother voice drowning out what I once thought to be my own. I'll admit that when that man became the president, before terrified, I felt relief. Finally, here was the bald face of the country, and now everyone had to look at it. Everyone had to see what my loves for their lives could not unsee. Cruelty, after all, is made of distance. The sign here and the world ends somewhere else. The world, the literal world. I hold my face close to the blue light of the screen until my head aches, until I'm sick. And like a child, I just want someone to touch me with cool hands and say, yes, you're right. Something is wrong. Stay here in bed until the pain stops. And oh, mother, remember the night when, convinced you were dying, you raced to the hospital clutching your heart. And by the time you arrived, you were fine. You were sharp as a blade. 5 miles in and I can't stop thinking about that video. There's a man with his arms raised in surrender. He was driving his car, his own car, and they're charging him, bellowing like bulls. We didn't shoot you, motherfucker. You should feel lucky for that. Yes. Okay. Fine. My body, too, can be drawn like any weapon. Thank you.
Our next reader is Woogie Bay.
Closest to bone, I check off the items embedded in body. The terms expected, think, shown for air. The mercy of outsiders after we lowered on me, lower than begging, we were told to meet with care. Prayers for food, shelter, body compacted, the nothing. All the many held, we arrived in wash. It was the bone that kept us wake. Next to refuse, a grief, wilted the song, sung apples and grass, nothing but the filling uncooked to your mouth, as cradled to warmth under layers of jar. Determined by some record of birth, I could give you such. here, silk and brine. In another birth, which body I rinsed would be yours. Mourned weeks, years, suspended and feared. Not in this time before a timer set, sliver of film to your tongue. If I described to you a dog ate the seed or the fool. I'd watch your arm extend to touch it. Everything packaged, then pleased, recirculated things. They asked about weight, the impact of metal, what kept us there, what led us directionless, why did you say no? On the other side of attachment, neither phone call nor shame, momentarily settled landmass and memory, Sunday night, the aftermath of cleanup. I found a label in the cabinet, begged, and you promised, no matter the sickness that left your stomach pitted. Image, what keeps your broken mouth, millions of Hmong caught on teeth. Distortions and disproportions, placement of limbs, flattened molars, heavy bitterness of what you store, seamed long throat. Thank you.
Our next reader is Quentin Baker.
This ship deranges the sea. Every break and swell is rupture and mosaic, every step in anticipation of ordinance, a black on black collage of refusal. We cry out to salt, home in the non-place of non-being, beseech black ligature of wave to build us a new commons, move away from the dire selection of elective drowning. We do not rejoice in invasion preference or rebrand a prison logic. We are black along a breach axis, property birthed enormous, uterine warehouse in a universe of escalation. Bullet hole the lash for when it see us. Chimerical warden of the borderland, willing architect of an obliterating literature. We keep time within a flagellated firmament of skull, beloved bone woven into ancestral garments, both of and to protect from a lacerating chronology. We lustral blood bearers, perfecters of spill, unkillable, fugitive dead, our eluded flesh, cleansed of every grope and clench, our rack-weighted cots, slashed and wrapped in asafoetida, black market of redress, we donate one another to ourselves, the proceeds of survival, assemblage and wave, the elision of the hold, to occupy the badlands between break and escape, between breach and too much. Yes, we will cut the head off a snake, build panorama from its end, treat any scrap of planet like juniper seed.
Okay, our next reader is Ellen Morrison.
In the all-night body shop for captive meter, one kneels to kiss ether's doily. Ditto, ditto, there, I said it. An absolute wishbone is nobody's utopia. Obscure, you mirror Minnow's shattered moon. You contain clean veils of milk, a snow or talc, as whistle as scissor. Even a faded parachute, lunar and classic, shivers a scintillating shock of chance. But flash back, weary slake, to wavelengths whose celibate pillars skimmed salt's teacup. That's where you first reflected nothing. Turnip goose, a beekeeper ghosts your sail, hemming your alpine lace in rays of ridges while a lucid thermometer fireworks in error. After, whispers of gesso fog until you railroad your thaw oracle. Neither port nor pang, yet respiratory in your tentative blizzard of telephone and revolver. You disappear, a faceless keyhole for night-blooming shuttle sets. Unless you reflect, you'll never lattice. So bludgeon wonder, or orbit your meta-ozone to catch light. Make something of yourself. Make an effort. Thank you.
Rebecca Brown.
Eugene, what a thrill to be here with everyone. Thank you all. I'm a prose writer and I write stories and novels, and so I'm reading the one thing I've written that fits on one page, and hopefully less than 2 minutes. It's from my last book called Not Heaven Somewhere Else, and it's called The Pigs. Once upon a time, there were the pigs. They all lived in the same house, not in three. That might have been better, but might have not. It might have been nothing could help, but who can tell? There were two of them, big and a little one, not a little girl visitor like Goldilocks. She lived there. She was the baby pig. There wasn't a wolf. There was only them, but they would do. There was huffing and puffing and blowing down and huffing and puffing and blowing each other to smithereens. One day the house went up. Actually, it took longer than one day, but I'm telling it like the way I want. It smelled like a barbecue. One of the pigs, though, before she got completely cooked, got out. I'll let you guess which one.
Next reader is Amy Sarah Carroll.
Hello, thank you for organizing this event. I'm going to read three poems that I wrote this past fall, the first following a few trips to Marfa, Texas, the second and third from a series on Mexican muralism and folded frames. An orb of light levitating across the river, she said to me, "Do you ever think it could be Mexican nationals on the other side having a good chuckle to stay alive? Live feed. I imagine a father, a mother, a daughter, a son, a lantern, hands woven, agnostic, distress, signals, everything lost on the gringos waiting most nights, feckless, reckless, half-hearted as, texture for extraterrestrial communication. Just when you think the universe shrinky dinks, boxed in, the density of the inner cloud medium wins. You, time, me, space, cloud, cover, extrapolate. Man at the crossroads. Cosmic rays are a global source of ionization, distributed through the galaxy. Interpenetrated, our bodies bleed light on the lower frequencies. A hole in the center, Rockefellers, mother, had her favorites. Don't we all pull a Nelson once in a blue moon, infrequently referring to a month in which two full moons appear? This wall, a wall, not a wall of elongated ellipses, unless one multiplies newspaper headlines, coitus, tower, black plus white, photographs, the primal scene, recreation, man, controller of the universe, a dish of syphilis bacteria just above my head." Thank you.
Sarah A. Chavez.
People are kidding, it's super bright up here. Thank you so much for having me this evening. This lineup just like blew my mind a little bit. So I'm gonna read one poem. It's from a new series that I have. Called Half Breed Helene. Just kidding, I don't care. I think the only thing that's helpful to know is half breed literally refers to her ethnic racial makeup. She's half Mexican, half white, and also she's a waitress. So, half breed Helene is devoured by want. Oh, the glossy, slick, colorful images of boots and shoes and bags and gadgets and fuzzy sweaters and patterned throws and red kitchen appliances and sectional couches and sleep number beds with remote controls. Helene wants it all. For hours on the floor of her one-bedroom apartment, she pores over the Thanksgiving Day Macy's, JCPenney's, Target, Pier 1, Cost Plus, World Market. Kohl's, Fred Meyer's, Ashley Furniture Mart, Joann's Fabrics, ads, every one of them gifting such remarkable deals, 30% off, 40, 50, even 75% off. This year, they tell her if you wake up early enough, there will be free coffee and donuts for the first 100 people through the doors, and an unidentified but wholly desirable free gift with $200 purchase. Every day, want lies dormant in H's gut, a gentle tickling, a seedling suppressed and shamed by the ones and fives set aside in the back of the linen pantry in individual marked envelopes labeled rent and PG&E and future tuition. Days like today are watering, an opening of proverbial curtains, sunshine flooding in, and the want grows and grows. H imagines the life of comfort promised by the ads. Though even in her imagining, she can't see herself, just some ambiguous body, third person point of view, running fingers over impossible merchandise. The want's growth pierces a hole in the middle of H's chest. An awakened hunger, a cavernous hollow, H fears may never close. Thank you.
Okay, our next reader is Ken Taylor.
Hashtag no filter. Chasing light is trying to grasp aromatic collapsing by the eyes of X, each eye seeing from a different angle, through the gain of pupils and squinch of irises, through the change of mirrors in each eye, through retinas turning receptions into impulses, through optic nerve transfer, through the lens, through narrow streaming of stern engineering, through zeros and ones, through a fur coat remix of the bitmap grid, through multi-component intensities, through values of stroke, color, shape, curve, thickness, fill, a death, a plate of food, a sunset. Through reducing continuous time signals to a discrete time signal, through the charismatic app, through pressure over fiber under ocean, through routing and switching, through servers, through naming protocols, through the broth of metadata, once removed from experience, removed again by captioning, removed again with dispersal by friends and the friends of friends. Through traffic capture and the glistening of its bowers, through security settings, ad placement, file sharing, through beams sometimes dressed as trees, through coded themes rendering images to understanding, through the smallest addressable elements in an all points addressable display, through the arpeggiated feature of moving, emptying, craving, delivering, money shot from a blank horizon. Thanks.
Okay, Richard Chum.
Antediluvian. I might be a slight woman, but rhetorical Methuselah, run on face and pronounced mouth. In the teeth of all data, I am lashed to the mast, awake at the crack of ruin. Light heaves west while I write from the middle. The ocean isn't finished. My head is a pin cushion of holes with pins in it. How I look in the mirror. One day I will have lived between two points in time, but how many in space? That which describes what it displaces. Head, flag, beach, bucket, this isn't right. What is displaced by described light? To survive means to be alive despite what nearly took you or did the dead. My face full of arrowheads pointing at, don't say, don't talk to me like that. Thank you.
Michael Cross.
One is this incredible poem by Tyrone Williams, who I saw in the back. I made it for Tyrone's Often Lecture. Awesome. I made this just for you. I finished sewing it right before I came, and I took this whole suitcase of books for this whole week, so please take them. This is Alex Cruz, a local poet, and this is a book by Taylor Brady that's incredible. So they're over there for free. This is just a couple pages from this book called The Catacombs. Tasker's vial line. Otios' lips spitting into peace with the sweat of another's face and then spitting peace itself into sweat. A pledge in the brazier despite weeping dry tears from this mantle of life like death. Box tendered between where I fashion love to bear both life and death. Where we feed engrossers who eat men. We feed, determining belligerence by placing a hand in the brazier, splitting the wrist, hanging wolves on the fence as a warning to other wolves that I can't be left with nothing. I can't be left with nothing if it's the nothing I rejected, and now everything's on the inside of the nothing, and still we plan to extradite the taskers, so a body barely stands a chance. Balls, throat wet with core, silk wet, tonsured, swallowing strips tanned with cluing, filled the stomach with shells, honeycomb, and ghee. Honey with which to masticate, they darkly grouse why the calf won't take the maggots when it ripens. The requisite sole organ of once live things, longer than friendship, really frater, matter friends, those loved and worried for themselves without consanguinity, without confidence, made trial of weathered skin, the death of which names Albus or Atter, the state and Atter. What matters who's speaking till you've hooded muscle in clusters of light, transcribing face-giving acts where face ends in Matt Ronger, bends back toward itself, and purlieus less brio despite our covenants. Made a sump with these two hands, this false heart, and placed it against the whole of your real heart, and kissed with the seams and leathers of your whole face, this receptacle of speech I can hear in my mouth. Well of insudate sounds, viably hewn, product of a boar heart, say that you opened my chest, and the light blissed from the pores, where the pearls wax and breed. Thank you.
Chalonair.
Thank you for sitting through that. Translation by Eleni Cicliano, who is a fantastic poet to work with. Verses on bird, number one. Bird watching waves in and out of imagined space. Autumn sunlight hopes, then hints, the clouds are detaching. The river is green, a thick soup enriched with terminologies. It is squeezed out the orderly tree lines along the river. If only all these trees really belong to the language, one vowel altering its soundtrack from the backdrop might sing out the surprise of all the world. No bird, for the bird is not in the trees, on the cloth lines, in chimneys. Those solid feathered winds softly waves in events they are eager to net. Bird exists, a flicker, if you can see through yourself to follow the next desire. It's rising, landing, do not blink. Thank you.
Hey, Senor Grima.
dearest of gold and yellow days, my third whatnot and what have you. Your halos of hard lemonade drink make parallel O's, and drink me slow in the waiting lines for meatless bone broth, pickled cauliflower, marrow. Sing like siren, sister's love, in a flowering compost ear. Sing curing to a buzzing brain. When becoming the age of elders, Sister Oles will birth a desert gold land. Yet, a sleigh in sisterly screeches and the promised and honeyed lands from I, your Abraham, forever protector against that pyramid looming. You seek my protection and invoke your name, Sarai, sister of gold-coined laughter, laughing at the collection, singing at the collection. These scarabs and scrolls, your ink overflows, dresses red with it. You, never knowing what you want, and you always knowing how to get it. One day, some golden haystacks will bow down to you, and you will laugh at famine bearing and jealousy and love. And when giving a gift, you should gift it gracefully. Give the deserts, and then that last-born blood, doorway dripping with mine instead, a gift. Gift gracefully against those prophesied plagues. Gold on yours, and locusts and ticks and frogs and blood and illness and darkness and gnats and boils and sacrifice on. I read about you casting nations upon men like nets and golden lineage a rope and how to take it to weave a bowl. And I hear you about guiding nation after nation into the blondish oceans, a mooring by the three-stringed cord. You truth, me spirit. Three fraying strings turn in the palm. Lineage. Gold under hands, always hands reaching and pressing. Boat after boat full of men and more men and more men, and yet, sister, I am yours only, removed and bereft of blue things and taste.
Our first group of three, so we're going to take a brief break. Restrooms are through there, 5-10 minutes. Let's not